mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been a parent now for almost 6 years, and one thing I notice about myself as a parent is at every stage that I've seen my son grow, I want to keep that stage. You know, when he was two, I liked him at two. I didn't want him to be three, and then he became three, and then I started to enjoy the things he was doing at three, and I didn't want him to be four, but then he grew and became four, and at each stage, I've noticed different things that I enjoy, and now here he is almost six, and so I'm trying to appreciate his last few months as a five-year-old, and so I've learned to just appreciate who he is, what he's doing at the time that he is, as he's growing, you know, and appreciate those times, knowing that they're not going to be there forever, I know that I will miss those stages as I move on, but I also look forward to him in the stages that we have to go. And my point is that he's going to grow, right? There's no stopping it. He's going to grow. So you parents who have children, you have probably thought the same thing. You appreciate different times in their lives as they're growing, but then you know they're going to be gone soon, and so you want to enjoy the moments as they're happening. But it's supposed to happen. They're supposed to grow. It would be wrong if they didn't grow. So there's things that I enjoy now, like when I go to the park with Luke. I used to have to be there near him, making sure he wouldn't fall off the toys, or then he'd want to go swing. And he never tires of swinging, so I was pushing him, swinging, 30 minutes into swing. I'm longing for the bench, jealous of those parents sitting on the bench. But now he gets on the swings, he swings himself, and I get to enjoy the bench. And so I do appreciate the different things as he's growing. We have I used to pull him on my bike on this little trailer. The little thing, he would sit in there, and I would pull him along, and that was hard because I had to do all the pedaling. But then as he got older, I was able to put him on this thing called a Wee-Hoo, and so he pedals, so now he carries his own weight as we ride on the bike trails. And eventually, though, I assume that he will be riding his own bike. I'm not going to be pulling him 10 years from now, right? It would be ridiculous. So there's things that are appropriate at different stages of a child's life that are not appropriate at other stages of a child's life, because they are supposed to mature. We want them to mature and to grow into adulthood. That's the expectation. The same is true for Christians. There is an expectation that God's people will become grown-up Christians. God's people will mature in their faith. But as we see in the epistle reading today, that's not happening in the church at Corinth. Chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh." So he starts out by saying when they were new to the faith, when they were infants in the faith, he fed them milk. That's what you feed infants. There's a certain way that infants eat. There's a certain way infants act. And so that's fine for a while, but the problem is you guys are still acting like infants. Paul is saying, when I was there among you, I fed you milk because that was developmentally appropriate for infants, Christians who are new to the faith. That's what you give them, is milk, but you're still there, and that's the problem. You should have moved on to solid food, and you haven't. You see, what Paul is telling the church at Corinth is, and he's telling us, is that there is this reasonable expectation to move from milk to solid food, to move from spiritual infancy onto maturity. There is an expectation to become grown-up Christians. We Christians are not to be static in our faith. We are to be maturing and growing in our knowledge of God and of the things of God. There was a time for all of us when we were fed on milk because we were new. It's not abnormal to have spiritual milk. That's what new Christians are fed. But you have to continue. You don't stay on that, right? We actually move into solid food. And what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth is that you have a developmental issue in your congregation. As we consider the situation with the church at Corinth, it gives us an opportunity to ask questions of ourselves. Are we growing in our faith? Are we becoming spiritually mature? Are we growing in our knowledge of the things of God? Here's Paul's evidence that the church at Corinth was actually, in fact, immature. He says in verse 3 and 4, "For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human?" What is going on in this church is that the church, ironically, they think they're so spiritual. They think they have matured. And they think they've got it all figured out. And so some, if they believe they've figured it out because they're following Paul. Others think that they've got it figured out because they're following Apollos or some other leader. And because they think they have it all figured out, they look down on those who they don't think get it. And so there's this division that's being created because they've all decided to break off and follow their own leaders. And then Paul says to this condition, he says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh." And then he says, for a while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, "I follow Paul," and another, "I follow Apollos," are you not being merely human? So what Paul's saying here is, he's saying, you think you're so spiritual, you think you're so mature, but you are acting like ordinary, sinful people. You are not spiritual. Quite the opposite. You are of the flesh. And what he means is that they are not living out the Spirit-filled lives that they were given when they were baptized. The Spirit came into their lives, and they're not living that out. He says that they're acting no differently than the people outside the church out in the world. There's nothing distinguishing about them at all. Paul, in the previous chapter, had made this distinction. He had made this distinction between those out in the world who are of the flesh and those in the church who are of the Spirit and who have the mind of Christ. But now, Paul's dealing with something that's kind of in the middle here. As he's talking to the church in Corinth, he's talking to people who are supposed to be spiritual, but they're not acting like it. He calls them brothers. He's not saying they're not Christians. He acknowledges them as Christians, but they're not acting like Christians. So that's what he's dealing with. They're a walking contradiction. Certainly this is not unique to the church at Corinth. If we're honest with ourselves, I mean, we know we don't always shine the light of Christ, right? When we are going about our days. We find ourselves looking down on others. We find ourselves becoming impatient and easily provoked to anger. We look for ways to be served rather than looking to serve others. We neglect to find the opportunities to serve in our own congregation or out in the community. We fail to give God the credit for all the blessings we have, and we fail to rely on Him during moments of trial. But is the sign of a mature Christian, is it that we don't sin anymore? Is that what Paul is saying? I don't think that's what he's saying. In fact, that would be impossible because we are sinners. and we continue to struggle with sin in this world, it's really that we understand that we are sinners. Look at Paul. In one of his later letters in his life, he's writing to Timothy. And Paul calls himself the chief of sinners, or the foremost of sinners. He saw himself as the worst of sinners. And here he is, an apostle. He'd planted how many churches by this time? And yet, he saw himself, and he saw himself as a sinner. So, thinking that we're better than others, and looking down on others, and causing division in the church, while that was a real problem in this church in Corinth, the deeper problem was they couldn't see their sin. Their problem, you see, the problem with immaturity is that no one sees it in themselves. No one thinks that they're immature. But see, immaturity comes from not being willing to see your sin, not being teachable, not allowing others to correct you. And when that doesn't happen, there's no opportunity then to repent. So it's actually really mature to look into yourself and see where you failed, to see where you haven't been loving others as you should, serving as you should, shining the light of Christ in the opportunities that we have. Only then, when we can admit our sins, confess our sins, can we repent and receive the forgiveness that Christ won for us on the cross. And that's when real growth happens. Paul is a model here for us for what it is to be a mature Christian. He says in verse 5 through 8, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. For we are God's fellow workers." You notice how Paul doesn't give himself any credit. Paul could have written them and said, "Hey guys, I'm Paul. I'm the guy who planted this church. You guys wouldn't be here without me." But that's not what he does at all. He says he's only a servant. He says he's nothing. And Paul, Apollos is also a servant. And they were both doing their part, but God is the one who gave the growth. Paul's goal is only that the church at Corinth would see Jesus. Growing in our faith is simply a desire to see Jesus more and more in our lives. Seeing what he has done for us and what he continues to do in our lives, pointing others to Jesus so that they also know him. John the Baptist said it this way. I think it's a good way to understand maturity as Christians and growing in our faith. In his ministry, as he's pointing to Jesus, at one point he says, "I must decrease and he must increase." That's what it is to follow Christ. As we grow in our faith, we decrease in our lives and he increases in our lives. God has made you who you are. His word gives you faith, and he gives you his Holy Spirit. His word there continues to mature you. As we gather here weekly, we are growing in our faith. As we open up scripture for ourselves and our personal and our private life daily, as we grow and read his word, the more you hear it, you see, the more you want to hear it. You see, maturity as a Christian isn't, I've heard all the stories in Scripture. I get it. I don't need to keep hearing them. Maturity as a Christian is wanting to hear these stories over and over again. Saying, "Tell me that story again." Never growing old of hearing the good news that for Jesus' sake, you are forgiven. Because the more you hear it, the more it sinks down into your heart. The more you hear the gospel, the more it brings about repentance and forgiveness and living out the fruits of the Spirit. You see, being a grown-up Christian doesn't mean you're less of a sinner as anyone else and somehow you need Jesus less. It means growing in your knowledge of your sin and hating the sin in your life. Maturing as a Christian means sometimes you actually feel worse than other people might feel. People who don't care about those same sins, so same things they're doing, you understand their sin, so you feel worse about them than they do. Because you're growing in the knowledge of your sin. But the more you see your sin, the more you also see what Jesus has done, that he was willing to be nailed to a cross for those sins. And even as you become more aware of your sin, you also become more aware of the grace of God to you. You see more and more your dependence on Jesus Christ and him crucified. As you acknowledge your sin, as the knowledge of your sin grows, your understanding of Jesus' love for you grows that much more. See, Christian maturity isn't about looking at yourself and seeing how strong you are. It's looking at yourself and seeing how weak you are and how strong Jesus is. Christian maturity is growing not in independence, but in dependence in Jesus. Depending on his word. Depending on his sacraments. Depending on the body of believers here. As we cling to him in his word, God is the one who gives the growth. Amen. May the peace of God which gives us, may the peace of God that I am not thinking, passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to stand now as we profess our faith.